Acts chapter 27, turn to verse number 39. And we want to try to help you tonight. What's on our heart? The Bible said, "And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast, and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. So it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land." If the Lord will help me here tonight, I ain't really got a title much, but I want to preach to you a little bit about this. And verse number 41, "And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast." The forepart stuck fast. I want to try to preach to us tonight just a little bit about this. You can title it whatever you want to. If it's just being caught in a storm, that'd be all right, however you want to write that down. I want to preach to us a little bit. We know, spiritually speaking, what it's like to be in a storm. There's not a one of us here tonight in some aspect of our life that we can't relate to this passage of Scripture. When reading this, it brings into focus a clear view of some of the most turbulent times of our lives. It makes us realize just how volatile life can be. Especially when this storm that these people are in could have been avoided by just doing what the man of God told them to do. And it amazes me, Brother Keith, how many people find themselves stuck in the middle of something because they brought it upon themselves. Had they been obedient to God's Word, they wouldn't be where they are today. But I don't want to spend the entirety of this message trying to preach on what we should have done, but rather I want to preach on the condition that we're in right now. There's some things you can't call back, decisions you cannot change. If life were so easy to just live things over and do things again, then all of us would backtrack and take a few different steps than what we've taken. But by the grace of God, we are where we are. And it's by the grace of God that we're going to continue on from here. I hope you'll help me while I preach just a little bit tonight. But the Bible tells us here in verse 39, "And when it was day," they had been 14 days in the middle of a storm that they could not determine the difference between the day or the night. And suddenly the skies lightened just enough that they got a little enough determination about them that they began to look. They were looking for something. They knew there had to be something better than the way things had been going for the last 14 days. And perhaps that's the situation that you're in tonight, that you've been looking for something to get better. But instead of getting better, it really hasn't gotten that way. But finally, in the middle of everything that's going on, God has given us a little bit of illumination and allowed us to see the light to where we can get a good clear glimpse of that other shore that may encourage us that we just got to keep on going. It's not a time now for us to bail out and just jump out of the ship and go overboard and say, forget about it. God's got a greater plan and a greater purpose in mind. And He knows exactly where He's going to take us to. Just bear with me a few minutes here. The Bible said, and when it was day, they knew not the land. They saw something. And they got a picture of that land, and they decided upon seeing this beach and the shoreline that they were going to take their ship and make landfall somewhere on this little island. And so they done everything that was required of them to make it to the shoreline. And I feel like some of you have done the same thing. We've caught just a little glimpse of the other side, and we've been in turbulent times and stormy weather for quite some time. I wish I could tell you that from now to the coming of the Lord, that the storms are going to subside and we're going to see days of bright sunny skies, but I am not inclined to believe that things are going to take that kind of turn. But I can tell you that if we started on this journey, and that if we keep with it and believe God, we're going to make it to the other side. We're going to get to the end of this journey. I got to try to tell you something tonight. So the Bible said that whenever the word was passed around and they began to realize there's something and it's not too far ahead of us, they took up the anchors and they committed themselves unto the sea. They loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail and began to make their way towards shore. It kind of sounds like the beginnings of a revival right here. It kind of sounds like something that we have done a lot of times in our life, Brother Jason Painter. We get a little glimpse of heaven and suddenly everything that has held us in place where we haven't been moving, we pull up the anchors of our soul, we throw up the sail, and we make up our mind that's where we're going. And so it was with them. I do not believe there was anybody on board that said, no, let's stay where we are. I don't believe there was anybody that was among that group that was there that says, I vote that we stay in the storm. No, everybody with unison had the same idea, and they started moving. And I feel like at this point in time, that their velocity picked up and their speed picked up, and it looked like just as sure as you and I are sitting right here tonight that they're going to make it to shore. There was a spirit that settled on them of great anticipation. We're finally going to get over this. We're going to finally get through this. Have you ever had that feeling in your life that you were on the verge of finally getting through of this long, dark passage that you'd been traveling along? I'm trying to help you here tonight. And you loosed everything. You cut everything aside. And you commit yourself to a purpose. We're going to the shore. It does not matter what anything else is going on. We're not waiting any longer. We're going to make a break for it. We're looking for freedom. There's got to be something better than what we've been going through. But I want to try to preach to you tonight. This is the wave of revival that always sweeps through. And seemingly there are folks in every meeting and in every service that make up their mind what they're going to do. It's a new year. They've got another resolution. They've got a good idea. I'm going to move. I'm going to do something for God. But suddenly, somewhere on their journey, they run into something that they never expected. They fell into a place where two seas met. This simply means that there were countercurrents. There was one coming from one way and another coming from another, and it caused a place in the sea that washed up the ground, and it suddenly came up. It was not what they wanted, and it was not what they anticipated. But there are times in our life, unbeknownst to us, without any idea, that things come up that cause us to get stuck. And I feel like tonight, with our sails waving in the air and the anchors laying in the boat, we still ain't going nowhere. We come so far. We're inside of the goal. But we're stuck this much short of where we intended to go. Stuck on something we didn't plan on. Stuck on something that was not noted. Nobody gave us any idea that we would face this here. How would we know when the waves are so choppy that there was two seas that came together right here? How would we ever have any idea that the unexpected would take place when momentum was carrying us on to a place where we're finally going to get some rest? Because even though the storm may continue on, everybody knows that it's better to have your feet on solid ground than to try to rest and to find comfort in the waving and rocking of a boat that's just at the mercy of the sea. Their intentions were good. Their desire was great. In fact, you could see by every indication from the external view, just looking at this boat, what direction they're taking. They're not turning it back out to sea. But suddenly the unexpected creeps up on them, and there they are. It caught them just like a snare. And there they are in a place where two seas met. I try to feel like preaching tonight about this getting stuck, because I feel certainly tonight here we are 3.5 weeks into revival, and there are some people right here in this service tonight that you've been hung up by some things that you would have never anticipated. As far as you can tell and what you can see, it's just water out there, but there's something under the surface that is causing a hang up, that's causing problems in your life. Are you hearing me? I feel like telling you right here in this service tonight, you've come a long way, but you still ain't got there. You see, it's not what is obvious that creates the problems for us. It's not that is sticking up out of the water, because it'd be easy for us to steer around it, but it's that lays underneath the surface. Much the same way it is with a child of God. It's not what's on the exterior that's causing us the trouble, but it's what's going on right down inside our heart. We've been there when we've been on the move. We've been going along. We've committed ourselves to it. And suddenly we come to a place where we are stuck. Nobody wants to be there, but here we are, stuck. And I'm going to tell you the thing about being stuck here is the ship that you've been riding in is never going to move from the place where it's hung. At some point in time, I'm going to try to get on down to preach this. We're going to move on. But it's not going to be the way that we thought it would go. So we planned on a ship. We know what we expected. We thought this boat, this way of going, is what's going to carry me all the way over. I feel like preaching here tonight. I really wish I knew why I was preaching while I'm preaching. And I might do better. Huh? But you see, if we're going to go on, we're going to have to go on without our security blankets. We're going to have to go on with that we've relied on up to this point. That ship has done you well thus far in the storm. But there comes a place where that ship cannot go any farther. It's hung. Come on now, there's not enough men on board and enough oars available to row us backward out of the storm that's driving us deeper and deeper into the muck and the mire until we're not able, come on now, to get over it. The Bible said that the front part, the far part was stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken. This is the parts of our life. I don't know why I feel like
this ship represents a whole lot of somebody's life right here tonight. The hinder part, which was your past, it seems that everything that's been accomplished up to this point has been broken apart, and it's not turned out how you thought it would. I mean, you look back, why is it that what's behind us suddenly is no longer there? It's no longer existing. There's nothing there to brag about. There's nothing to boast about. There's nothing to talk about. There is a past that's being shattered by the storms that have not calmed down. It's bad enough to be in the storm, but to be stuck. And as far as we can tell, the far part, which is the future, is now uncertain because we're not going anywhere. We're not meeting our goals. We're really not getting where we want to go. And I feel like telling you tonight, God knows exactly where you are, and He will get you out of this if you'll do it His way. We can look back over our lives, and I don't know why it is, but sometimes the storm has a way of just completely breaking everything up. Huh? Breaks up relationships, breaks up homes. Huh? Come on now. And God forbid, in the hour that we're living in, I was up the other day at the barber shop, and they got more than what I paid for while I was there. It was unique. What a great day. You go in, and I always thought, when you told somebody you was a preacher, you might hear some good news. But I heard all kinds of bad news. I heard about every split that never happened in this part of the country, of every church, of every denomination. Come on now. From here to there. And I was like, Mama, come on now. And evidently, this guy didn't even go to church, none of them. He just drove by to see whether they split or not. Come on now. I mean, you hear all kinds of stuff that are breaking up. Churches are breaking up. Fellowships are breaking up. And people are breaking up. But I want to tell you, there comes a time that we cannot let the past come on dictate our direction for the future. Come on, it may have been broken up, but the past, come on now, is not enough just by gazing back over it and wondering what's really been accomplished when everything is being scattered and the storm is breaking it apart. And there's a board here and a board there. And we look back and say, Lord, I ain't done anything. I'm not getting anywhere. What's really going on? Have I lived this long, come this far without any results? But I want to tell you, that past, it's not going to be what's going to help you in the present. What you're going to need is a higher power that'll stand on your behalf and make you realize this storm is not fatal. And being stuck, amen, is not deadly. God is going to bring us out of everything that we've come through up to this point. We've got to depend and have faith in God. I've got to hurry here. I don't even know. I tried to write some notes down about this, but I wasn't making no progress. So I'm just going to preach to you. The hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. Stuck. And I really feel like this is where the Lord has dealt with me. And I'm going to get on to the miracle of this message in a minute. Or two or ten or 20. Hey, how long it takes me to get there. But I feel like today, that the circumstance you're in, you can't get out of. Everybody grab an oar. If I could just back up. Now that thing that has stuck the forepart, that you thought was your worst enemy, suddenly becomes your greatest ally. Because if you could back out
with a broken vessel, you would sink. Come on now. If we could change some things, that are going on in our lives, we would. But tonight, the devil's got a plan. He's got a desire. Verse 42 said the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners. I'm not a spiritual genius. I'm not good at comparing things. I am not good at symbolism. I am not a symbolic preacher. But I will tell you, the soldiers in this passage of Scripture represent our enemy, the devil. Now come on now. Let they see that we're stuck. We're called in a place. We're not backing out. And the devil knows there is a possibility that if this boat is actually touching land, that somebody may spring over the side and get an escape. I preached to you last night on faith's final delay. And tonight, I don't know whether this is just a continuation of last night's message, but I feel like telling somebody here tonight that God's not finished yet. He is not done. The soldiers have made it clear what their intentions is. And I feel like even in the course of this 3.5 week revival, that we have fought with the hordes of hell. We have battled with demons. We have fought and we have fought and we have fought. Everything imaginable. I mean, even down to last night, while I'm trying to preach the devil, I tried to get in here and just mess me up where I could not walk. But I want to tell you right here, the soldiers' counsel is, it's our last effort. It's our last opportunity. We've come this far. We're supposed to go on and take these men to appear before Caesar. We cannot allow them to escape. If they get out, it's death to us. And we find ourselves again. Here are the soldiers, those that are with us, these that have been around us, have become our greatest detriment. They are the ones that seemingly are on a mission to destroy us, that are on a mission to kill us. But can I tell you, in the midst of everything that has come on now, this order was not handed down by the centurion, but it was devised in the hearts of the soldiers on board. They took matters into their own hands instead of consulting with the captain of the vessel.
I've got a burden on my heart here. Brother Centurion, you getting this? But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. But the centurion, the soldier said, kill. The captain said, it's not my will. The soldier said, let's end it. Get it over with. They're not going to make it anyway. Let's destroy what little bit of hope that they have. And with unsheathed swords, ready first of all to take the life of Paul. He's the one that's responsible. We can't stand everything that he's done. Everything that he says brings us under conviction. He's the very one that we figured out that in all this voyage, we're the soldiers. We're the ones that's got rank. But the captain has suddenly changed until he's no longer favoring the soldiers, but he's favoring the man of God. He's listening to the word of God. And suddenly, as if this, come on now, the captain knew exactly what was about to take place. He enters somewhere. I don't know if it was from stage left, stage right, or where he appeared on this scene. But the Bible said, but the centurion, there's something about this that stirs my soul. When the captain stood up in the midst of a storm for a ship that was stuck on its way to destruction, they're so far from land, doesn't look like they're going to ever get out of this. And he rose up and he gave them a resounding no. It is not my will. And I want to tell you that the reason you've made it this far, it wasn't because of your ingenuity. It wasn't because of your intellectual side of life. It wasn't because of your talents, but it was because of the mercy of the captain that was on board this vessel that spoke just when the devil was ready to destroy it and said no.
No. You're not going to kill him. There was a centurion's want, willing to save Paul. But I read another scripture that said, not willing that any should perish, which were the words of the Lord, but that all should come to repentance. Not willing. Have you ever just grasped the concept behind not willing? That means more than just, he's going to just take a passive attempt to keep you alive. That means he'll go as far as necessary. Not willing. That the routes that the Lord has taken to keep us out of trouble. I told you, I'm not going to preach about what has got us into this, but I'm going to try to focus on what's going to get us out of this. That's the important factor in our lives. It's not what we've come through to this point, but it's what we're coming out of from this point on. You see right here, when the centurion steps on the scene, the entire scenario changes. Everything in the picture takes on a different look. And I want to tell you tonight, when the Lord steps in the arrangement, everything gets a different view. It gets a different look. There's a different aspect and a different desire. And the will of the captain takes preeminence over the will of the people this day and every day into eternity. No. There's not a doubt in my mind that some of you, if the devil had his way, he'd have wiped you out. But about the time that the sword was ready to come down and take your life, the Lord said, no. I almost feel, Brother Bailey, that the captain said, if you kill him, you'll have to kill me first. And being the captain, to get to Paul, you'll have to go through me. 100 men, 100 soldiers, and there was not a soldier that was willing to take to task the captain of the vessel. He had the most experience. Oh, come on now. He was the strongest. Any one of them, yes, you say, but they couldn't. Oh, listen, none of them. You don't read any more here, Brother Keith Willis, where one of them stood up and said, but I said, let them die. And no, when the Lord speaks something, that's just the way it's going to be. I wish I could preach better tonight. I know this is not my best preaching, but I'm trying to stir you and tell you that God knows you're stuck. But even though you're stuck, he's going to get you out. It may not be the way you expected it. It may not be the way you planned it or the way you ever imagined it. But God's going to get us out. Throw me a plank. Let me swim. Whatever it takes. I'm going to get to the other side. When sailing goes bad, swim a while. And when you can't swim, grab a board and float. There is a way that is being made for our escape. Even in the middle of what's going on. Notice the words. Willing to say Paul kept them. That's an active verb there. Kept. I don't know. It's just my imagination here. I can see there may have been a little scuffle here. There could have been someone on me. He said, no.
And he says, I'll tell you what's going to happen. The first one that lays a finger on Paul, you're going to pay for it with your own life. Come on now. This is not the route we're going. And immediately the borough of the Bible said that the soldiers' counsel was to kill them unless they should swim out. The first command from the voice of the captain was, all those that can swim, jump in first. Almost completely contrary to everything that everybody else said. And I like it. I was talking to somebody, Brother Henry Cordell, before church, and we were just discussing how God is so amazing. And when the doctor says it can't be done, God says, yes, it can, and He does it. Can I tell you, when things look hopeless and they're impossible and it looks like there's no way, don't forget about the centurion. His word is final, and what he says, that's the way it's going to be. And God is going to bring us out.
Several years ago, I was driving in one of those eastern Kentucky counties, Owsley County, I think it was, in the mountains. And even though I put up guardrail for 15 years, there was none constructed on that road I was driving on. Never had been any. And I came around the curve, and the road was slick. And when I went to turn the curve, I just kept on going straight. And went over 100 feet, straight down a cliff, and landed at the bottom. And when I got down there, I just turned my truck off and climbed out. I didn't know how I was going to get back to the top. I walked a long way around, but I finally found an elevation that I could climb. I got to the top. When, make a long story short, they came, and state trooper told me that day, he said, this same place that you just had an accident, said, we've had numbers of wrecks in the last 6 weeks. Same place. The majority of those have ended in fatalities. He said, I'm surprised that you didn't get severely hurt or killed in this accident. But when they went and pulled that F-150 up out of the bottom of that ravine, with that wrecker and a dump truck tied to the front and a dump truck tied to a tree, they finally got it out there. They pulled it up, and the front bumper, which looked more like a horseshoe by this time, there was a little license plate on the front. It said, you have a friend in Jesus. I'll never forget the words that state trooper said to me. He said, son, he said, right there's the reason you come out of this. He said, when everybody else has ended up severely injured or dead, right there's the reason. When I was going old, when I stole my first, when I went my wheel, when I dropped off the pavement, the very first one of the soldiers' council was to kill me and to get rid of this little preacher. Way back those many years ago, but the captain said, it's not going to be so. And he was there and he glad. I mean, I can't explain it, Brother Jake. I mean, it was as if something got a hold of that vehicle and maneuvered it between the trees and carried me straight to the bottom. I mean, I never had such a good wreck in my life. Come on, if there's such a thing. But I want to tell you tonight, it looks like disaster, and it looks like we're stuck, and what a shame and a pity it is to see the shore, and we just can't get there. But can I tell you, at the command of the centurion, I'm going over the side of this boat, I'm going to grab me a board, and we are going to make it. The Bible said at the end of this that they escaped all, every single one of them. Nobody was left behind. They escaped all safe to land. Come on now. They all got out. And do you know you're here tonight? And the Lord just told me to tell you in this service tonight that we're all going to get out of it. We are all going to pull through this. We're all, come on. I don't know. What part of all don't we understand? What part of all doesn't make sense? God's talking to me, and He's talking to you. He's talking to you.
and to you and you and you and you. Everybody in here tonight, I don't know why, but it keeps rolling over and over in my mind. You're stuck and you don't understand, because you was caught by something that you never imagined was there. Had you known it, you'd have steered around it. But now you're right in the middle of it, and you just can't move and get over that obstacle that is still hidden from your sight. But can I tell you that that is not going to be enough to keep us from making landfall? It's not going to be enough to keep us from getting the victory, even though it's unseen and it was an attempt of the adversary. It is not enough to keep us from passing over.
I'm going to make you backslide. I'm going to make you quit church. I'm going to make you do this. And I want to tell you right now that sandbar that's been washed up by the pull of two different currents, one pulling one way and another pulling the other, and it's left you stuck right in the middle, it's still not enough to destroy your life. It's still not enough to let you die. It's still not enough to leave you hanging. It's not enough that'll bring death. Come on, God says it's not going to do it. But if my word, we're going to make it. If the word of the Lord, every one of us is going to pull through. Amen. The conflict with counter currents in our lives.
Well, I feel like maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe I'm way off target here. I really don't know. But you're being pulled between two. And the only thing that's on your mind is the regret. Maybe I should have went this way, and this wouldn't have happened. If I'd gone this way, this wouldn't have happened. But I can tell you, if you wasn't here, we wouldn't have the miracle of the swim to safety. The next ship over is going down by a relentless storm. But God used a sandbar to stop you long enough to hear the word of the Lord. As He said, it's not going to be your ship that carries you through. Oh, come on now. I feel the Holy Ghost right here tonight. Some of you may not feel anything except cold chills from the temperature outside. But here tonight I feel something stirring in my soul that tells me that this is part of God's plan and the devil is not going to win. I really wish I could preach better about this. I've got such a desire to do better, and I want to do better, but I'm not getting there. Maybe if we jumped up here and sung a couple of songs about 80 miles an hour, it'd probably break us out of our pews. But I feel like telling you here, you're stuck. I know you're stuck. You know you're stuck. There's others knows you're stuck. But I want to tell you, you're not going to break loose from the sandbar. But you are going over the top. And I splash in the water. And when you make your splash, have you heard about the fella that just fell in the water? And he said, I'm going under. And somebody told him to stand up. And he found out the water was only 3 foot deep. I ain't going to tell this. It's just a little something happened while we've been evangelizing. I ain't going to tell it. I might tell you after a while, but not right now. It's because... Well, my wife's not in here. I can't tell it unless she's in here. So I'm not going to tell it. Amen. I really feel this. And you probably think, what's this guy trying to tell us? And I'm not even really sure myself. Except to tell you, you're stuck. I mean, we're not still way out there, but neither are we over there. But somewhere in the middle, We've made progress. But we've not made sure yet. Stuck. Leaves us scratching our head. Why? I feel this, really. I feel this. Somewhere right here in this service tonight, you're wondering why, when I did my best, has it come down to this? Why did it have to be something I didn't expect? Mama. Why? We hoisted up the mainsail. We got caught up in the wind. We were heading the right direction. Our anchors are in the boat. But we're stuck. How did we end up stuck? It's not fair. I've done nothing to deserve this. God's got a greater miracle. Conventional method says, run the boat into the beach. But God's method is, you can swim out as individuals. And if you don't know how to swim, then I've got a board that you can ride on. And it's going to be enough. And I don't know that anybody here tonight is a swimmer, spiritually speaking, that's bold enough to say, I can handle it. But for everybody else, I feel like the Lord gave us two boards. And they were made in the form of a cross as a means of escape to get us through this. It was by the way of the cross that we got started. And it's by the way of the cross that we're going to finish up. I really got to tell you tonight, God's going to get you out of this. I said, God is going to get you out of what you're in. My wife's getting ready to come. I feel it tonight. I'm more than I've ever felt it in my life. You're getting bitter over your circumstance. Why have we come to this? Fear is settled in your eyes. Have you seen the soldiers unsheathe their sword, and you're preparing for it to be death? You are certain when the sword is drawn high that this blow with your hands tied behind your back is going to be the one that's going to make you stop short of what your goal was. But just in time, the Lord interrupted the plans. No! That's not what we're going to do. We're going to Melita. You know what Melita means? Its name means affording honey. It is a place that even to this day, that little island has the biggest honey crop of nearly any place in the entire world. They have more blooms of which to pull it from. And God's got a place where He's going to let you have a little bit of the honey after the storm. God's going to sweeten it up just a little bit. Come on, I feel like telling you here tonight, God's not done with you yet. God's not finished with you. Don't settle with a sword wound through the chest. Don't settle with just being stuck and say, I gave it my best. Hang on just a minute. I hear something rumbling. It is the thunder of feet that's walking across the floor where you are. And the captain, in a voice that's easily understood by everyone around, said, no, stop right here. I'm going to give them a way to escape. Well, if my preaching didn't help you tonight, we'll come back tomorrow night. But the Lord said, being pulled apart. You're stuck. While I was praying today, the Lord kept saying the countercurrents have gotten the best of you. You're betwixt two. Stuck in the middle. Halted between two opinions. But when the fire of the Lord falls, after Elijah's prayer, I want to tell you He's still God. He never kept you 14 days to let it end like this. My wife, please. You're standing tonight. I really wish I knew why I was preaching this. Maybe I could preach with a clear focus. I'm not seeing faces. But the devil's desire is, I'm going to kill you. Everything you've worked for, I'm going to destroy it. I wish I had better news about the condition of your ship. I don't, but I have good news about your soul. It's the best news. This boat ain't fit for sailing anymore. But if you can swim out of this, jump in. But if you can't swim, would you come get a hold of this plank? And you'll get out of this alive. She plays, could we come tonight?